This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in. Welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on the website, and you can contact me either way. So you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, today we're going to continue our journey through Luke chapter 21. This will be the first program in a new year. And of course, a new year, as we mentioned last time, always brings a certain amount of anticipation. People look at their own lives, take inventory of them, make resolutions, which then are usually promptly broken before the end of the month. But at least we make the resolutions, and we do want to, in many ways, try to improve our lives and make our lives better. And I can assure you that if you're a person who really wants to have an improved life over the next year, the best way to do it is to sit down with your Bible and spend a little time alone with the Lord every day. I know that on a program like this, we try to teach you, but I'm a firm believer in the fact that the Holy Spirit himself, using the living Word of God, is our best teacher. And I'm also convinced that the average person with the average education can glean a great deal from their Bibles. And I recommend that you improve your life this next year by spending time with the Word of God and looking at the Bible as a letter from heaven. I recommend that you start by reading from Matthew on through the New Testament. However, if you're a regular Bible reader, you might want to start in the Old Testament and read on through from the beginning to the end. It wouldn't take that long to read through your Bible in this year. And many of you are maybe already doing that, and so I'm really encouraging those of you who perhaps would claim to be Christians, who would claim to have a desire to please the Lord. I'm encouraging you to do this, and if there are, I think it will help you in your relationship with the Lord. And if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, maybe it'll bring you to a point where you can really trust him and see that the things that are in the Bible are true, particularly the things concerning Israel. And that's what we want to deal with today. When I was a youngster, we read our Bibles every day around the kitchen table. And one thing I was impressed with was the fact that if, my dad used to say, if there's any question in your mind about whether the Bible is the Word of God, study the nation of Israel. And it is true that the nation of Israel is an earthly people. It has earthly promises. It has an earthly land. And we in the New Testament, if we're saved, we're a spiritual people with spiritual promises and a spiritual land, a heavenly land. But the Old Testament, as we study the nation of Israel, is instructive in terms of the principles that please God. So you see sacrifice in the Old Testament. You see blood putting away sin in the Old Testament. You see God dwelling amongst his people in the Old Testament. And we could go on and on with the principles in the Old Testament that are carried over in a spiritual way in the New. But one of the things that we want to look at is the nation of Israel, because as we anticipate the new year, many people are asking, when is this promise going to be fulfilled that the Lord gave us when he left, when he said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. When is that promise going to be fulfilled? Now, there are many people who have tried to set dates with regard to the promise of the Lord's return. One of them was Harold Camping, who had a different view of prophecy than I do. He looked at a general judgment day, and I'm not quite sure just how he saw the tribulation period, but he looked at the period we live in as a period that represented the millennium, and I've always had trouble with that. In other words, the church replaced Israel, and we live in the millennium or the kingdom when we live in the church age. And he's tended to have that point of view. And friend, whether you look at the church or whether you look at the world, Satan has never been bound. And so Satan has to be bound during the millennium. And I cannot accept his point of view for that reason. But nevertheless, he did really believe that the Lord was going to return, and he set dates, and he spent a great deal of money because he believed that he could tell people when the Lord was going to return, and they needed to be ready for it, and people believed him. But he was wrong, and that's because in this dispensation, we're to be always ready for the Lord to return. And when we talk about the Lord's return, we're talking about everything connected with his second coming, which includes the rapture to take away the church from the wrath to come, which includes the 7 years of terrible tribulation, a literal 7 years of 360-day years, and then the Lord is going to come on the white horse to establish himself with a repentant Israel who will have confessed that they did in fact crucify their Messiah, and they will confess that as a nation. And so I do not see the church age as being the millennium. I see the millennium as being an actual event that will take place in the future. 1,000 years. A millennium is 1,000 years. It'll be 1,000 years when the Lord reigns on this earth. And then after that, we're going to have the eternal state as well, which we know very little about. All we know is that those who have trusted in Christ are prepared for it all. They're saved. They're going to be with the Lord. And those who are not saved are going to undergo judgment for rejecting the crucified Messiah. So what I want to read today has to do with two fig trees that will help us understand a little bit about when this second coming is going to occur. Now, the first one I'm going to read is in Luke 21, starting at verse 29, and it picks up where we left off last time. Notice in verse 28, we read, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Now, when we come to the 29th verse, "Then he spoke to them a parable, a story with a spiritual meaning. He says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near, or is at hand. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now, that's one fig tree I want to look at, but we've already looked at another fig tree back in Luke chapter 13 and verse 6, where we have another parable. And it says there, "He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Why does it take up space on Mother Earth?' But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down.'" And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, the second parable that I've read to you, of course, is found in Luke before the one we are dealing with in Luke chapter 21. And obviously, that's a story that has a spiritual meaning. And the fig tree quite clearly represents the nation of Israel, who had 3 years of ministry on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord was hoping that in that 3 years of ministry, they would respond to him, that they would believe on him, that they would accept him as their king, that they would turn away from idols, that they would turn away from self-willed legal religion, and would serve the Lord himself who had come in order to be their king, in order to be their savior. But after the 3 years, they cried, "Away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us." And so the nation of Israel was cut down. We know that in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. The nation was basically dispersed, and they've been in what's called dispersion ever since. They have been dispersed from their land because of their unbelief. The Lord says in Isaiah 1, "I have raised up children, and they have rebelled against me." And so they were cut down, but God is not done with Israel. And so when we read from Luke chapter 21 about the fig tree budding, that's the sign of the Lord's second coming. Now, there's a difference of opinion as to whether the earthquakes we're seeing today and the pestilence we're seeing today and all of that is the actual signs of the Lord's return, or whether this is talking about signs that occur after the rapture, after the signing of a peace treaty on the part of Israel with a false Messiah. And I realize that there is room for interpretation here, but I really believe he's talking about the nation of Israel seeing these things happening during the tribulation period, and that they should be encouraged that it won't be long before the Lord does come. And the reason I believe that is because in verse 32 he says, "This generation will by no means pass away till all things take place." And I know there are people who look at that and say, well, that is a lie. The generation to which the Lord was speaking has all passed away. But you have to understand that in the context, he's saying that the generation that goes into the tribulation is going to be the same generation that comes out of the tribulation. They're not all going to die. This generation that sees these things happening will not pass away till all these things take place. And so I believe that while we should keep our eye upon Israel, and looking at Israel should make us realize that the stage perhaps is being set for the Lord to return and take his own home, and for the Lord to begin dealing with the nations that rejected him. Yet it's during the tribulation period, during that 7 years, that the Lord is trying to encourage Jews who will believe during that period that in fact Jesus is the Messiah, and who will preach that gospel. He's telling them that that generation that goes into that tribulation will be the same generation that goes into the millennium. There will be some of them that will be saved and not have to die. And friend, we should be anticipating the Lord's return, and we need to be ready for it. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just pray for thy blessing upon thy word and upon this program and upon those who have listened. We do thank thee for thy love and salvation, and for an open door to trust in the Lord today. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.